at our pre-service event, the sugar scrub and the make your own deodorant and the snack bar. If you didn't get a chance to do those things beforehand, we're going to have those going afterwards as well with some coffee. So just make plans to find your friends and hang out a while and make a night of it. When we first put this together, we were picturing just a few of us over in the youth building making our scrubs and chatting, but you ladies were excited for a night out. And as the event grew and grew, we did our best to accommodate you and change our plans, but next year, we will know to plan for a huge party, right? I know that we have a couple of other churches in the house joining us tonight. We're so glad you're here. Is Cornerstone and Cameron in the house tonight? Thank you, ladies, for joining us. What about Milan? Cornerstone, Milan, are you guys here? I knew there were a few of you. Are some Turning Point ladies here? Thank you for coming. And what about a group from Princeton? Is there a group from Princeton here? Hey, we are glad you're here. No matter where you're from, we're honored that you are our guest tonight. We're going to have two sessions this evening. The second session will be a little shorter than the first session, but we're not going to take like an official bathroom break in the interest of time. In between sessions, we'll have some skits and some giveaways and a video. That would be a good time to use the restroom if you need to. And if you win, your friend can just come and grab your prize. We have taken over the building, so both bathrooms in the lobby are women's restrooms tonight, because how many of you get tired of standing in line in the girls' bathroom and the men's restroom's empty? So they're all ours tonight. So feel free to just make yourselves at home. Go whatever you need to. Before we move on, I just want to say a very big thank you to the team of women who helped with this event. There are women who worked for weeks putting together these decorations, getting food, getting giveaways, and they've just put in so much time and dedication. We have women running the words and the lights and one sole lone man in the sound booth. But if you guys helped, if you were part of that planning committee, would you stand up right now? Because I just want to say thank you. We appreciate all of your hard work. Thank you for putting this evening on. All right, so now we're going to get to our first round of giveaways. We have some good ones. Miss Holly Roth is going to come and lead those. And I am just so thankful for our wonderful sponsors in the community who really supported this event and were just so generous to donate. And so good luck. I hope that your name gets drawn. And settle in, ladies. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight.
All right, ladies, who is excited to win some free prizes tonight? We have some we have some really, really great prizes. So listen up. We're going to start. Our first giveaway tonight is a giveaway from Coconut Grove. They have an coconut oil diffuser, or sorry, essential oil diffuser, and some essential oils to go with it. So let's see who our first winner is. Chris Harrelson, come up and get your prize. See in here? Come on down and grab your prize. All right, number two, another gift from Coconut Grove. We have some tea and some tea infusers to go along with it. So let's see who their next winner is. Vicki Cashett. Come on now, get your prize. Congratulations. All right, ladies, this next gift is really, really great. Woody's Automotive has donated $100 grocery card from Sliced Bread Market. So $100 worth of groceries. That's awesome. And our winner is Holly Mosier. Woo! Congratulations, Holly. Hey, ladies, a couple more. Next one. Who doesn't love jewelry? We're a bunch of women here. This is a good one. This is from Sensenick Jewelry. It's a silver necklace and some other goodies from Sensenick. So who's the lucky winner? Megan Peterson. Woo! Come on down, Megan. Congratulations. A couple more, ladies. We'll keep them rolling. Our next is a 30-minute massage from Essential Needs. Yay. All right. Our winner is Ashley Teamy. Congratulations, Ashley. All right, ladies. The last one in round one. We have a free lip sense kit. from donated from Amy Thrasher, and that can't be right. Ashley Teamy, did I? Okay, sorry. I was like, you have two? Okay, well, that was you. Come on up. Congratulations. I know.
I knew I'd grab one.
Congratulations, ladies. We have another round of gifts in part two, so go ahead and stick around. Enjoy the evening.
All right, we're going to continue to worship God some more, so will you stand back up with us? Our Father everlasting, your creator, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ his Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. And I've suffered and crucified. You sent it through darkness. You rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
your name. Sing your name. Christ is enough.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need.
Sing that again.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need.
Sing it again.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
The cross before,
the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need.
It's just the ladies, sing it out.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I
my soul,
within me sings my soul, my singing to thee. Every thought, every thought, when Christ shall come, with shouts of affirmation and change evil.
When I first found out I was going to be a mother, I was so excited, and I probably spent my time, like most young mothers do, kind of getting ready and dreaming and picking out names and nesting. And so as the time got close for me to have the baby, I thought, well, I better make a final, you know, Walmart run and get all of the essentials in the house. And as I was on my way, my sister-in-law called, and she's like, hey, what you doing? And now, before I tell you this, I blame this on pregnancy brain. It is a real thing. I said, well, I'm on my way to Walmart, And I thought I'd get the last minute things, and I was trying to think, like, I know the baby needs milk, but what do they eat when they're first born? Like, bananas? Would that be something good? Because they're, like, soft, and they can gum them. And the other end of the line is just silence. And then she's like, are you kidding me? You don't feed them. You don't feed them for months. And so she promptly typed out a month-by-month feeding guide of what to give your baby the first year and got it to me. I think she was pretty much scared at that point. But that was the first time, definitely not the last time, that I began to wonder if I was in over my head with this whole motherhood thing and if I was going to be enough to handle it. And it ended up, the first time around, I had a very difficult baby. He cried for hours, and we still don't know why. And there were times when he could literally cry all night long. And he had his days and his nights mixed up. And so as I was sitting in the middle of the night, you know, you have a lot of time to ponder life's great mysteries at 2 in the morning. But then there's also television, right? Except this was before Netflix. And this was before TiVo. And so you were just at the mercy of local programming and whatever was on television. And that's when I really dove into the world of infomercials. It's amazing how many things you never thought you needed, but you watch the commercial and you're like, a petting? I would love to slough all the dead skin off of my feet. That sounds amazing. Or suddenly I'm like, a knife that cuts through tire? Yes. Of course, because I cut through tires every single day. So I need the knife that cuts through the tire. Or those little things that you extend and it cleans your fan so you don't have to step on a chair. Because all of us clean our ceiling fans every single day, right? And so think how much time I could save if I just bought this handy-dandy extender. And suddenly I started to wonder if my life was complete without pajama jeans. Because I could go to Walmart in my pajamas, but nobody would know because they look like jeans, right? So I want to show you an infomercial of a woman who really wants to sell you her product.
How about having to separate egg whites from the yolk? That is never fun. The Easy Cracker comes with an egg separator, so it's never a problem. The special attachment makes it easy to whip up a healthy egg white omelet or use the yolk to make pudding. Woohoo! Stop picking those shells off of your hard-boiled egg. Let the Easy Cracker do it for you. One squeeze removes the shell from delicious egg salad. Let the little ones help out when baking those cookies. Now you too can crack, crack, crack with the Easy Cracker. So call now and order the Easy Cracker with egg separator for only $19.95. But wait, a Corn Fair for. Order now and I'll throw in the Easy Scrambler just for you. It mixes
now. So all this time you thought you could crack your own eggs, but you didn't know this was out there, right? So many ads we see in a day, and they just come at us all the time, whether it's over our computer, social media, the television, the radio, whatever it is, the message is, you aren't enough, and you don't have enough. You know, because if they said, hey, I think you're good, you don't need my product, well, they wouldn't sell anything, right? And so we get that message all the time. Something like, you're not pretty enough. So if you put this cream on, all your wrinkles will disappear, and you'll have brand new skin. You don't have enough. But this gadget that I want to sell you is going to fulfill everything that you've been needing, and all of a sudden your organized life is going to make you happy, right? You're not good enough. But if you buy this purse or this car or this blank, then you've got this status symbol and you've finally reached enough. And all of a sudden, we begin to feel like we're behind if we start listening to those voices. And when we wake up in the morning, we're not just trying to be at the bar. We're feeling below the bar. We're trying to reach up for it. And we wake up thinking things like, I didn't get up early enough. I don't have enough time to do everything that I need to do. God is asking me to do blank, but I'm not good enough. And so that was my infomercial stage when the baby was young. But then I got to face the other dilemma that many of us faced at some point in time, and that was how I wanted to work and take care of the baby and the balance that I wanted to strike there. And I ended up getting a call from my professor at my college that I went to, and he was the head of the department, and he said, hey, we'd like to pull you on. And if you will go get your master's, then you can come and teach adjuncts while you get your master's. Once you have that, we'll bring you on full time, but you have to have your doctorate in 10 years of your hire date. And I had to really make a decision there, because here's this career path that's going to be really rewarding on the one hand, but it's going to be very time demanding on the other hand. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And the point is not which decision I made, because I believe that either one would have been fine. The point is this. I was immediately just saddled with guilt, because I knew that either decision I made, I was going to feel guilty. Instead of being glad about it, I thought, now, if I turn down something that's been handed to me that is so wonderful, I feel guilty. But if I take it and I'm spending so much time, you know, doing all of these things, and I've got the young kids over here and I'm not, I feel guilty. Either way was guilt. And this is a common theme for so many women. In fact, it's no exaggeration. This is part of the reason I felt like this was the right theme for the night. Every single day almost, I talk to a woman who is struggling with feeling like she is not enough, doubting the decisions that she has made in her life, wondering if she's handling things correctly. So many women constantly feel like they're failing at life because they're not doing every single little thing perfectly right. And I think we can thank Pinterest for that in part, right? Because I thought I was okay, but suddenly if I'm not cutting my son's peanut butter and jelly into a dinosaur with wings, or putting love notes in my daughter's lunchbox, or making the perfect wreath out of Solo cups and nobody can tell, then I'm not keeping up with what I'm supposed to do. It's kind of an unrealistic standard. But I have talked to more than one woman here on a Wednesday night, more than one, who was in tears because she didn't feel like she was enough. She didn't feel like she was making the right choices. And when she brought her kids here and she hadn't seen them all day, and then they got home, it was bedtime and she missed them. But if she kept them home, they were missing out on all of the really good supplementary Bible teaching and the clubs that they get on Wednesday night. And she felt guilty for that. And this is a burden that we as women should not be living under. And it doesn't stop as a young woman. In fact, we were planning this event, and a lady who has grandkids said, oh, honey, this goes on for the rest of your life. She said, my kids are grown. And I was just cleaning the house the other day, and a situation from about 20 years ago came to me. And I called my son and I said, did I handle that right? Did I mess you up? And he was like, Mom, it's fine. But even at her age, she was still dealing with it. And it's not just the mom thing, right? Many times we doubt what God has put inside of us, the directions we have chosen to come, maybe our career choices, maybe the way our marriage is going, maybe the health choices that we have made, you name it. Do you guys remember at a very young age what it was like to be a teenager? Maybe, I don't know if any of you had this feeling, the experience of being an outsider as a teenager. Most of us go through it at one point or another in our teens. And I remember that high school wasn't always a kind place for me. I grew up in Kansas City, and I had a youth group that was very close. And so I had friends that I was hanging out with every weekend, all summer long, a very close group of us. But because it's Kansas City, there's all these different high schools, and so none of them really went to my school. And the few that did, my high school had well over 2,000 students. There were over 600 in my class alone, so I never really saw them. And there were moments during this 8-hour school day, I knew I had friends, but I was alone. And I would look around trying to live for God in an environment where nobody else was, it felt like. And I would just think, man, I kind of feel like I don't belong here. I don't feel like I fit in with these people. And as adults, sometimes we laugh that off and we think, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But when you're going through it and you have to sit there all day long, it feels very real. And for me, it wasn't until college that I really started to hit my stride and was able to realize, you know what? This is who I am. And I was created this way for a reason. And you can take me or you can leave me. You know, I mean, this is who I am. That's a confidence that served me well in college, but it only came after 4 years of looking around and thinking, am I okay the way I am? Why am I not fitting in with everybody else? If you've ever experienced being the outsider, you probably can relate to that. Whether it's young or whether we're older, there are some of us who feel like we cannot be used by God, whether it's past mistakes, guilt, or just doubting our ability. We question that. And tonight I want to talk about a story in the Bible of a man who just wasn't sure that God would use him. His name was Gideon. And when we pick up his story, he's an Israelite. And his people were being attacked and oppressed and held down by the Midianites. The Midianites had been over them for years. And the Bible says they were like locusts because they would wait until the Israelites were ready to harvest. So they've worked hard all year, and right when they're ready to collect it, it says they came like locusts, and they would sweep the land and leave nothing for the Israelites. And it got so bad that the Israelites were hiding out in caves, in just a cleft in a rock, in any kind of a stronghold that they could find just to escape this oppression. And it says that they were impoverished, and they began to cry out to God, please save us. And so God decides that he's going to send Gideon. He sends an angel of the Lord while Gideon's threshing wheat, and he's trying to do it in a wine press to hide out from the Midianites. And in Judges 6:12, the angel says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Will everybody say that with me? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon asks some natural questions. Hey, if God's with me, then why is all of this bad stuff happening to me and my family and friends? And the answer in verse 14 is just, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And Gideon replies, but Lord, how can I save them? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And God says, I will be with you. You see, he says, go in the strength you have, you are enough, but then I will be with you because he is enough. But Gideon felt like the least of the least. And yet what I love about this story is that God comes to Gideon and calls him a mighty warrior. But that's not what we really see at this point in the story. He's hiding out in a confined place, trying to do a job that should be done out in the open because they would toss the wheat up and the wind would blow the bad part away, and yet he's hiding. He's feeling defeated and discouraged and confused about everything that's happened, and yet God says that he's going to use him. And even when God talks to him, Gideon still has a lot of questions. Now, me personally, I'm always like, what is up with these people in the Bible? Because if an angel came, I would probably be like, okay, you know, whatever you think, Lord, we're going to do it, but there's an angel standing right next to me. But for Gideon, it wasn't really that way. He's still not sure about things. And so he's like, well, God, if this is really you and you really want to use me, I have this wool fleece and I'm going to put it out on the ground. And in the morning, would you let it be covered with dew, but the ground will be dry? And God did. And he's like, oh, I am still not sure that this is what you're wanting me to do. So can we try this again, but let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet? And it was. So Gideon's like, okay. So he begins to carry out the Lord's commands. But the Bible tells us in verse 27, because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, He did it at night rather than daytime. This is God's mighty warrior who's supposed to take down the enemy. And he is so afraid of his family and friends, he doesn't even step out in the day. He's creeping around doing this at night. And this is the man that God is going to use. The one that God called a mighty warrior. What I love about this story is that God called him a mighty warrior long before he ever was one. And we see that pattern with God a lot. He called Peter a rock when Peter was the most volatile personality in the group. He called Moses to be a great leader of people, but Moses was afraid and he's like, God, I don't do the public speaking thing. Could you send somebody else? I just don't think I want to do it. And yet God saw all of the potential in him and he took him right where he was and used him. In fact, the pattern that God lays out in the Bible is that he uses the people who aren't the most qualified. And yet so many times we disqualify ourselves. We disqualify ourselves from being used by God, from feeling like we're doing a good job at motherhood, from going for our dreams, because we assume that we just aren't enough. This happens when we focus more on who we are instead of who God is. Because with God, we are always enough. He sees us for all of our potential, not just for what we are now. In fact, God promises us in Psalm 103:12 that he's removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. And there's purpose in that statement. There's power in that statement. They didn't even at the time of the writing have a complete understanding probably of how everything works in the universe. And yet if he had said like north and south, think about I could travel the globe and the north and the south are very far apart, right? But once I got to the northernmost pole of the earth, eventually it would turn and it would start to be south. And I could travel south forever and ever, however long it would take me to get there. But once I got to the southernmost part of the earth, it would turn and it would be north. I would be traveling north. There's a line. You can find that line. It might be very far from you, but you could find it. But when they said east and west, if I'm traveling east around the earth, I can travel east for infinity. There's no line where they'd say, now you're traveling west. I can keep going that direction. If I'm traveling west, I can travel west. You can't find it. It's indefinable. It's not there. It's gone. And that's how God says he views our past and our mistakes once they've been turned over to him. There was a woman in the Bible who was caught in sin and everybody wanted to throw her away and condemn her. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you, but you need to go and leave your life of sin. Let it be in the past. Constantly dragging yesterday and yesterday's failures into today just weakens today. And constantly worrying about tomorrow and if we're going to be enough and if we're going to be able to accomplish everything just takes all the living out of today. Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? We can't. So why do we keep doing it? Yet some of us just allow these things to steal our joy, to keep us from being the women that God designed us to be, to keep us from being content in the season of life that we are living, because we're always looking across the aisle comparing our season to somebody else's season. But the truth is that no two journeys are alike. My season is never going to look the same as yours. But when I lack contentment in my heart because it's not the same and I want her journey, then what I'm saying is that God isn't enough for me. That I don't like what he has done for me. And I'm shutting down the good he's trying to do in my life. If I focus entirely on my issues and the unrealistic goals and how I don't measure up, then I'm always going to fall short. And that's just the truth. But when I learn to rely on God in me, I will always measure up. When you learn to rely on God in you, you will always measure up because he created you in his image with a specific strength and a specific purpose. When I was ready to get this night going, kind of saw in my mind what I wanted it to be, I assembled a team of women around me who I thought would be good to help. And I picked them because I knew of specific strengths that each one of them had. And so Amy Sisson was in charge of all the decorations. Just every decoration that you see, she was putting that stuff together, finding it in different places. And so she would call me, and she's like, what do you think about this? And I'm like, well, I don't care. Just whatever. As long as it looks good, I'm fine. She's like, well, are you going for this look or this look? I'm like, oh, I don't care. As long as it looks okay. And she's like, well, okay, well, I have this, and it's 36 inches, but the wall is 42. So what? I'm like, Amy, I just really don't care. I said, I'm so glad that you are doing this for me, because if I had to sit around and, like, figure all of this out, I would be miserable. And she's like, well, I am so glad that I don't do what you do, because I would be miserable. And I thought, isn't it great that women are able to work in their strengths and not be looking across saying, God, why didn't you make me more like her? God, I wish I had her gift, but instead use the gifts that God had put inside of us. Philippians 4:7-8 tells us that we can find our true contentment anywhere. Let's see, not 7, can you flip to 8? Got the wrong one, I'm sorry. But it says that he knows what it is to be in need, and he knows what it is to have plenty. He knows what it is to be hungry, and he knows what it is to be well fed. But he has discovered the secret of contentment, and that is that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And that is the truth. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And the truth tonight is that God is for you. God is your peace. God is your strength and your joy and your forgiveness, your very best friend, your wisdom and your guidance. He has gifted you. And the best news is, if you've given your heart to him and accepted him, he is inside of you. And you can do all things through him because he strengthens you. Amen? So tonight, I believe it's time to stop looking at ourselves and our lack and our shortcomings, and start looking at God and his abundance and the things that he gives us, because God plus you is always enough. And for Gideon, when he learned that when he focused on God, he was enough, the Bible tells us the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and we began to see a new boldness in him. We began to see him step into his purpose. He still struggles with fear. I mean, just because we decide we're going to do something for God doesn't mean that we never struggle with fear, but God cares. He even says, hey, Gideon, if you're discouraged, go listen to this conversation. Go do this if you need encouragement. But pretty soon, Gideon is stepping out, and he's telling the army, follow me. And God uses him to defeat this enemy that had been oppressing him and holding him down all his life. I believe that God gave you gifts and dreams for a reason. And when you are looking at his purpose and plan for you, he says he will equip you for what he calls you to do. But it's up to us to step out and live in it. There are examples through the Bible of people who stepped out and lived in their purpose. David was just a boy, really, when he faced a much larger enemy and an army. But he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And in that moment, because of God in him, he was enough. Mary was really just a girl. And when God came to her and said he was going to use her, she said, God, I'm yours. Do whatever you need to do. And God said, with me, all things are possible, Mary. And with God's help, she was enough. Esther was really a no name. She was an orphan who was just living with her uncle, but God plucked her out of that and reminded her that she was born for just that time. And with God's help, Esther was enough. Moses stood between a Red Sea and an army, and it looked like there was no way out, and it was an impossible situation. He turned to God. God said, take a step, Moses. Lift up your staff, Moses. And with God's help, Moses was enough. I believe, friends, that you are enough because God made you that way, and that he can use you in a way that nobody else can. You just have to believe it. There are some of you in this room, and your job is to love and raise children every single day. That is a purpose, and you shouldn't discount that. And with God's help, you are enough. Maybe you have a gift to be a friend that can listen to other people in a way that nobody else can. Maybe in your workplace, you're being a light where other people can't exactly go because you're the one who works there. Maybe your job is a ministry to other people. With God, you are enough. Maybe you're facing a situation. Maybe it's a marriage and you're just not sure if you're enough to save it. But you serve a God that knows all about impossible love. And with God's help, you are enough. Maybe you're a teenager in the room and you know what it is to feel like an outsider right now. And it's just uncomfortable. And you wonder, is it me? Is there something wrong with me? I promise you, teenager, there is nothing wrong with you. You are created exactly the way God intended for you to be created. And you have a purpose and He has a plan for your life. And with God's help, you are enough. Maybe tonight there's a dream that God put inside of you a long time ago, but you set it aside to raise a family. Or you set it aside because life got in the way. Or you're ready to give up on it because it's just too hard. But with God's help, you are enough. God sees you, mighty warrior, long before you may ever be one. He sees all of the potential, all that you can be. Fear and doubt and discouragement are powerful things, and convincing you to live just under your purpose is a powerful trick. Just as we serve a mighty God, there is a real enemy. But tonight, I want us to believe that God plus us always equals enough. Will you guys pray with me tonight? Maybe this evening you don't know exactly what I'm talking about because you've never really made a decision to follow Christ. And so you're like, I don't really know what that means to have Him as my friend or as God or as my strength, but I think I would like to. And if that is you, I wouldn't call you down at this point, but I would love to pray with you as a group. And so I'm just going to give you a chance, if you've never made that decision but you'd like to slip your hand up. And we'll just pray together as a group. Is there anybody? All right. I think there are others of us in this room who have been doubting ourselves for a while. We've allowed guilt to plague us at every corner, always telling us that we didn't do this right. We didn't do that right. We haven't made a great decision here or there. We're not enough to measure up. Maybe some of us fight doubt. You don't even need to try. You know it's not going to work out. You've failed before. You'll fail again. I want to remember tonight that us plus God is always enough. You plus God are enough. Heavenly Father, I lift you up. I thank you for this group of women who came here tonight to have fun, but also to worship you and to hear your word. And I pray, Lord, for anyone in the room who needs to release the burden of guilt, that tonight they would turn that over to you. They would refuse to live under that anymore. They would remember that your words are true and that you say we don't live under condemnation and that you have forgiven us, so we need to forgive ourselves. And God, I pray for the woman who maybe has a dream, who maybe feels like you want her to do something, but she hasn't stepped out yet because she's not sure if she's enough. Lord, I lift her up and I pray that tonight she would remember that with you, she can do all things. We thank you, Jesus, for your word and for its truth. In your name we pray. Amen.
Ladies, I hope you're enjoying the evening so far. We still have more giveaways to come. Isn't it such an amazing feeling to know that we have a God who is there for us always? But sometimes we need a little bit of a reminder about that. So we're going to take a moment and we're going to listen in on a conversation between Katie, a young mom who has had a very restless, no-sleep night, who is speaking with her friend Laura, who she admires and respects as a woman of faith.
Hello?
Hello, Laura. Is that you?
Oh, yes. Is this Katie calling me so early this morning?
Yes. Laura, I just, do you have a minute to talk? I really just need some godly advice.
Oh, well, of course, Katie. What's going on? What's the problem?
Well, I haven't been sleeping very well, and then this morning, this alarm on my phone was going off, and it was under my mattress, and then there were all these files from work just stuck under my mattress, and I'm just going to get in so much trouble from my boss, Mr. Henson. I am not supposed to take anything home from work, and I just don't understand how all these things got there, got under my mattress. What does it all mean?
Just hold on. Slow down, Katie. Hang on. Take a breather. Let me ask you, have you been worried that there's not enough time or even enough of you to get everything done on your schedule?
Exactly. I just worry about working and being a mom and just squeezing all of that stuff into my day.
Oh, that's totally understandable. We all feel that way. Like, there's not enough time to get everything done on our schedule and, like, we're not enough to do it all. But let me tell you, you need to give those worries to the Lord and just trust Him, because you, Katie, are a daughter of the King. And He loves you.
Yes, you're right, Laura. I'll really try that. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies, who's ready for some more giveaways? I hope you guys are enjoying your evening. We're having so much fun. We have some more great prizes for everybody. So why don't you all stand up, get that blood flowing, get some moving, kind of circle your arms, get some, let's get excited, guys. We got some really good prizes. We have, who here loves coffee? I am like a major coffee drinker. If you guys have not been to Bogeystone, you have to make it over there. They have awesome coffee. And those are our next 1, 2, 3, 4 prizes. The next 4 prizes are for Bogeystone. So I'm pretty excited about this. These next 4 gifts are going to give you 1-year membership to Bogeystone's Coffee Club. So you get 50-cent drip coffee when you bring in their mug and discounted specialty coffee, so it's pretty awesome. So, ladies, this is going to be an interactive. Everybody has a free chance to get this one. First person to bring me a lipstick and a piece of gum, run it up here to me, wins. So on the count of 3, get your purses ready. 1, 2, 3, go. Who's going to be first? Give me some gum and some lipstick. Who's first? Woo! That's all right. We have 4 of them, so you both can take one. So go ahead, give them applause. Good job. Congratulations, ladies. We have, go ahead, come on up. Congratulations. We have 1 more to give away. That's fine. You have a gift for her. All right, so we have 1 more Bogeystone to give away. Well, okay. Go ahead. No, go ahead. You win. You made the effort. Come on up here. Good job. Give her a round of applause. Good job, guys. Good job. All right, next gift. We have another $100 gift card to Sliced Bread Market, courtesy of Woody's Automotive. So that's pretty awesome. All right, your next winner for the $100 gift card goes to Nancy Hoskins. Congratulations, Nancy. Come on down. Get your prize. Congratulations. All right, ladies, we have a couple more to give away. The next one, we have some more jewelry to give away. This one's come from Lauhoff Jewelry. We get a necklace and a beautiful tote to go with it. Let's see. Our next winner is Claire Boyette. Claire Boyette, come on down. Congratulations. Come get your prize. Three more prizes to give away, ladies. We have the next two come from donated from Angie Cool. They are a glam and beauty box. Mary Kay, filled with a bunch of great prizes inside, as well as a $20 gift certificate to any Mary Kay product. So that's really great. We got two. I'm going to draw two right here. You're both going to win this one, all right? First winner is Dina Lamison. Congratulations, Dina. And then the next winner of the glam box goes to Tammy Dennis. Come on down, Tammy. We got one more. All right, ladies, this is your last gift of the evening. It is a $50 gift card to Martin House. That's awesome. That's great. If you guys haven't been there, you need to go check them out. Last gift right here, $50 to Martin House, goes to Tanya Maloney. Congratulations, Tanya. Come on down. Get your prize. All right, ladies, we have one more worship song to sing, so we're going to get that going, and then we're going to continue on with the rest of your evening. We have a skit first. I'm sorry. Take it away.
Hello.
Hi, Laura. It's me again. I know I've called you every morning this week, but...
No. It's okay. I love taking phone calls before the sun comes up. Yes. And how did I know it would be you, Katie, calling me this time of the morning? So, anyway, how are you? What's happening? Wait, you didn't find anything under your mattress again this morning, did you?
Well, no, not something. I found someone. I just kept hearing whimpering all night long, and the mattress was all cockeyed this morning, and there was little Jenny stuffed under there, like a little rag doll with a little elfin, and just stuffed under my mattress, and I don't know, fluffed her up and sent her off to school this morning.
Well, Katie, let me guess. Have you been worried about your kids lately?
Exactly. I mean, I worry, you know, if I'm spending enough time with them. I worry what they're learning in school. I worry if they have enough friends. I worry if they're getting everything that they need. Well, I just keep worrying.
Well, I totally understand. We all worry about our kids because we love them and we want what's best for them. But Katie, let me tell you, you need to give those kiddos and those worries over to the Lord because He loves you and you are a daughter of the King, remember? And even if you don't feel like you're enough, He is enough.
You are so right, Laura. I just really need to focus on that. Focus on God.
Right.
Thank you so much. Bye now.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Water turned into wine. No open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. No one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. No one like you. None like you. Yeah. Our God is greater. Our God is strong. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome power, our God. Our God, sing it again. Our God is greater. Our God is strong. God, you are higher than any. Our God is healer. Awesome power, our God. Our God. If my God is strong, if my God is with us, what can stand against? If my God is for us, who could ever stop us? If my God is with us, what can stand against? What can stand against? Come on, sing our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any. Our God is healer. Awesome power, our God. Our God. Yeah, if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, what could stand against? If my God is for us, who can ever stop us? If my God is with us, come on, keep singing that. Sing it out. And if my God is for us, who could ever stop us? If my God is with us, what could stand against? What could stand against? Come on, give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. All right, as you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, God is enough.
When I think of the words God is enough, or, you know, God is more than I need, it makes me think of things that are important to me.
I always imagine that I would get married and stay married and have a 50th wedding anniversary, and life just kind of took a turn that I didn't expect. And when that happened, I kind of felt like the rug was pulled out from under me.
My second breast cancer surgery and chemo was in 1993, and God helped me through it all. Often feeling so sick. At times, I would take chemo on Friday. We would drive to a football game for my second son, and be taking not the medicine to get through.
I knew that there was a storm that was about to hit, and I knew that God was telling me to hold on to Him because everything that I had, everything I wanted was about to be shaken, and everything that I really wanted was you taking away from me. And so I went through it about a month later. I lost my boyfriend. A week later, after that, my mom died. And I had lost everything. I had to give up my internship. My life was like completely lost. I had to lean on God more than anybody. No matter who I spoke to about it, I didn't get that comfort that I needed. But really, God was all I needed. And He gave me the light at the end of the tunnel. As a mother, I had to give God my children. And that was something that I never could do. I could give God my money, my home, my marriage, anything that belonged to me, but my children were something that I had a really difficult time releasing that to God.
God showed me that I was enough because He is enough, because He was there for me. By me spending so much time ignoring Him, ignoring His forgiveness, ignoring His grace, I spent time away from Him that I could have been growing and becoming the strongest woman that I feel that I am today, because His grace, His love was enough when I didn't feel it.
I remember that when I'm going through something difficult, or if I meet somebody that's going through something difficult. So if you are experiencing a storm right now, just know to hold on to God and that He never wastes a tear, and He's truly enough.
So we talked about how we are enough, but there are times when we also wonder if God will be enough, if God will be enough to get us through the situation that we might be going through that we don't know if we can stand up under. This year I had a few friends who lost their father, and they described the pain of that as a soul-crushing kind of pain, that if it had not been for God, they wouldn't have hope right now. And I have another friend who lives far away from here, but I spoke with her, and she went through a very painful divorce, and not everybody knew the situation, so she ended up losing some friends, and his side of the family she'd grown to love, they were gone. Her kids were hurting. She went from staying home with them to working long hours, a full-time job, and she would say that every false foundation in her life was shaken, until she was left standing with her and God alone. And let's just be honest, storms will come in life. And when they come, we have a choice, right? Sometimes doubt comes and sometimes hurt comes. And we can get angry and turn from God, or we can hold on to Him. And tonight, if there's one thing that I want you to remember, it is this. We have to decide that God is enough apart from our circumstances, or He will never be enough in our circumstances. We have to decide that God is enough apart from our circumstances, or He will never be enough in our circumstances. A few months ago, I was reading my Bible. A story that I had read many times before just kind of came alive to me in a new way. And that's why I encourage you to read your Bibles and not to give up on it and think, oh, I've heard that story a million times before. Because it's a living, breathing Word of God that can touch us in a new way all the time. And the story was in John 11. And as I read it, I was just overwhelmed with the emotion in it. See, we don't see Jesus having a lot of, like, friends besides His disciples that He was with most of the time. But we know that they weren't always getting it. And so that had to be difficult sometimes. But we see a few times He went to the home of Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, and that He would consider them friends. And I can't say this definitively because there's no verse in the Bible that says He really liked, you know. But I feel like they were probably a safe place for Him. I don't know if you guys have a friend like that where you can just kind of let down and be yourself. And if you're happy, you guys laugh. And if you're sad, you guys cry. But you always leave feeling better than when you came. Just a good friend.
And so these people were probably something like that for him. And so when the note comes that Lazarus is sick, you would expect Jesus to get up and move. And they obviously had a very close relationship. The sisters referred to Lazarus as the one that Jesus loved, and he's sick. And so they expect Jesus to come as well. From the timing of the story, we see that Jesus is only about one day's travel away. But he doesn't get up and move right away. He doesn't come. He just stays put. He doesn't do what they expected him to do. John 11:5-6 says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And in that time, Lazarus died. When Jesus gets there, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. Now the Jews of that time kind of held this belief that the spirit hovered over the body for about 3 days in hopes of returning to it. But by the 4th day, even those people who had kind of held that belief had lost all hope. By the 4th day, when Jesus gets there, Lazarus is not just dead, he is long dead. This situation is final. So when Jesus arrives to town, Martha runs out to the edge of town to meet him, but the Bible makes sure to tell us that Mary stayed at home. I think that's kind of an interesting sentence. Why would they put that in there? Why do we need to know that? The way it reads to me is that Mary was hurt. Plain and simple. Because that doesn't seem like the same woman who sat at the feet of Jesus while her sister worked because she just wanted to be around him. That doesn't seem like the woman who anointed him with her finest oil and Mary stayed at home. So Martha runs to Jesus and she says, you know, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Because she knows who Jesus is. She believes that he has the power to do whatever they needed. And she also knows he didn't save her brother when she asked him to. And even then, her faith is strong. She says, even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. But then Jesus looks for Mary. He's concerned about her. She didn't go to him, but he asks after her. And finally, when she gets to him, she looks him in the eye and she says, clearly the two sisters have been talking because it's the same exact statement. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And when I read that, I could just kind of hear the pain in that statement. God, you could have done something and you didn't. You had the power to stop this from happening. I prayed and I asked you to and you just didn't. I don't know if you've ever been there, just kind of hurt, quite frankly, because you prayed for God to do something and it just kind of appeared that he didn't. I remember when I was pregnant with my first child, I prayed every single day for the child, that he would be healthy, that the delivery would go well, and everything turned out perfectly. So when I got pregnant with my second child, I began to pray the same thing, and I never once dreamed that things wouldn't go perfectly. Why would I think any different? And so at my 8-week ultrasound, I told Chad, oh, don't take off work. You know, this is just a normal, you know, you can't really see anything. Wait and come to the later one. I'm fine. And then when I got there alone, I realized that I had lost the baby at 8 weeks. And I know that that happens to a lot of women. But for me, it was a real time of my faith being tested and me asking questions like, hey, God, if you're just going to do what you want anyway, then why am I praying? I was hurt. Because it appeared that he didn't. And so here is Mary, this friend of Jesus, loved by Jesus, looking him in the eye and saying, if you had just been here, this wouldn't have happened. And the fact is, Jesus only moved when God said to move. And this event was necessary for 2 reasons. He'd already told his disciples it would bring glory to God. But then we also see in the bigger context of time that it was setting into motion the final weeks of his life, the final events of his life, but that didn't make it hurt any less. And we see that these women had not only lost their brother that they loved, but if they were living with their brother, then we assume they had no spouses. So he was also their income and their support They were hurting and they were scared. And Jesus' response, in verse 33, it tells us that he is deeply moved, that he is troubled when he sees their pain. In fact, we get the shortest verse of the Bible when Jesus sees everybody crying and where Lazarus was laid. John 11:35, Jesus wept. And that's the kind of God that we serve. For some reason that they may never understand on this side of heaven, Mary and Martha and even Lazarus, poor guy, had to walk through this situation and God let them, and yet he was weeping right alongside them. He cared about their pain. He was walking through it with them. And for a third time in the story, we are told that Jesus is deeply moved. He's hurting too. He knows the outcome. He knows everything is going to be okay. But when he's looking at their hurt, when he's looking at their pain, he's crying right alongside them. And he tells them, go ahead and uncover the grave. And the women are like, Jesus, he has been dead in this tomb for 4 days. There's no hope. He stinks. Literally, he stinks. And Jesus reminded them in that moment who God was. He spoke, and Lazarus lived. Jesus is very honest with us in the Bible. He tells us, in this world, you will have trouble. I mean, our lives, just because we become Christians, are not perfect. If they were, everybody would become a Christian, because they want a perfect life. It would have nothing to do with loving God at all. And yet there are situations that we may never understand, and we will walk through them anyway. Some of them are part of God's larger plan, and we don't see how it all fits together, but it does. Some of them are necessary steps to helping us grow. We have to grow up a little bit. Some of them just happen because we live in a fallen and a weary world. Whatever the reason, at times, we will walk through valleys, but yet in this story, I find something that I can hold on to, and that is that I have a God who walks through it with me. I have a God who cares. God hurts when you hurt. God listens when you pray, and God will act on your behalf. You see, Mary and Martha got their answer. It just wasn't in the way that they had been expecting or wanting. They thought their situation was beyond all hope, beyond the reach of God. The situation stunk, to be real literal. But with God, there is always hope. With God, there is no situation that is beyond hope, and long dead is just another way to bring glory to Him. In a moment, God can restore any situation. There are other stories in the Bible where God changed everything. There's a woman who suffered with feminine issues for 12 years. 12 years of being in pain, of trying to carry on with life, but she's hurting, of being embarrassed, of not understanding why she's not getting any better. And the Bible tells us that she had spent all she had on the doctors, all she had, trying this quick fix and this quick fix, and maybe this will be the thing that will finally fix me. Maybe this will be the thing that will finally help this problem because it's consuming me. And nothing was enough. And she was absolutely at the end of herself. And then she touched Jesus. And God was enough. And suddenly she was whole. But God doesn't just care about our physical needs. He cares about our hearts as well. And you look at Peter, this close friend of Jesus, with him everywhere. And he looks at Jesus and says, I'll never let you down. I will never deny you, even if they come after you. And many of you know what he did. He denied him. Not just once, not just twice, three times. How would God forgive something like that? How would God look at someone and forgive the man who just hung his son out to dry, just left him there? And yet Jesus made a specific point to go to Peter and to say, I still want to use you. You're still going to be a leader. And Peter, I forgive you. And in a moment, Peter's guilt was lifted. And in that moment, God was enough. We heard from women tonight who went through situations in their lives. And I'll try to put the full videos on Facebook this week so you can hear more about it. But Lisa, who had a child that was dealing with a battle, and she wasn't ready to surrender that child to God. Holly, who at a young age is facing the loss of her mother and her life just seems to crumble around her. Kay, who had multiple bouts of cancer that she was battling. Brandy, who felt like God was calling her to do something special, to do a ministry, and she didn't feel like she could because of what she had been through. And each of these women tonight faced an impossible situation, but they learned that God was enough. It doesn't matter tonight if you're facing a troubled marriage, a financial problem, a sin that just seems to haunt you, a physical problem. I promise you that God walks beside you and He is enough. I said earlier that if God isn't enough apart from our circumstances, He will never be enough in our circumstances. And it's true. You see, if someone were to just ask you, if you go to church on Sunday mornings, you consider yourself a Christian, is God enough? Most of you would say, oh, yes, God is enough. God is enough. And that's what we say, and that's what we believe that we believe. But yet, sometimes we put conditions on that, like, well, God is enough as long as my job goes well. But when my job starts to go bad, then I don't know if God is quite enough for me. Well, God will be enough when I finally get a good man. Then God will be enough, because God is enough for me on Sunday morning when I'm worshiping and I'm singing, but it's Friday night and it's 11 o'clock and I don't know if God is quite enough now because I'm lonely. God will be enough when I have all the money that I need, but until this money problem's figured out, I don't feel like God is really there, like He's enough. God will finally be enough for me. I'll finally be happy when I get the body that I've been working for. When I get that perfect body and I can wear a two-piece at the pool, then God will be enough. But I just can't be happy until I have that body that I want. I just need more friends. If I didn't feel like an outsider, then God would be enough. God will be enough, but. And I promise you tonight, ladies, if you can't find your peace in God alone, none of those other things are going to bring you peace either. You will never find what you are looking for if God is not enough for you apart from your circumstances. He will not be enough for you in your circumstances, whether they are good or whether they are bad. And honestly, that's just the thing that separates us who know God from those who don't, because we have that peace. We have that contentment. But if we can't find that, because we're always running from the next thing to this thing to the next, like the woman who was searching, thinking this quick fix will make me whole. This thing is finally going to make me better. Nothing's working out in my marriage. And instead of trying to fix me, I'm going to run over here and try to do this. And we're always searching. What do we have to offer anybody else? But when we can find contentment in Christ and realize that He is enough for us, we can be a light that reaches out to people who are hurting, to people who need the healing of God. Philippians 4, 12 and 13 is the verse that I wanted to use earlier. And it's Paul, and he says, I have learned what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was someone who had learned to be content in Christ, a true secret, a true blessing in even the worst of circumstances. And when he is writing this, he's sitting in a prison. He's facing persecution again. He could have been a really high-ranking official. He gave it all up for God. And he says, it doesn't matter what the circumstance. It doesn't matter if things are going great. It doesn't matter if things are going terrible. The secret I have found is that Christ is enough. Christ alone. And even when circumstances were hard, he knew the truth of Hebrews 13:5 when God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Because we serve a God who walks through every situation with us. My friend who lost her father this year wrote a blog about it. And she and her stepmother, Linda, were able to have a few final moments with her father. The cancer had moved very fast. They were able to get there and say their goodbyes. And I just want to read an excerpt from her blog. She says, in the midst of his last hour, that's all it was, 1 hour, I received a verse by text from a friend. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I know that you are with me. Now I know what that means. I felt the shadow of death, but I felt God's presence stronger. I felt my dad leaving, but I also felt the joy coming in that he would soon be with Jesus. Linda and I could not have held it together like we did if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. We couldn't have been what Dad needed, say what we needed to say, and been fully present if we hadn't felt God's hand. God orchestrated that final hour for me and for Linda. He allowed us to have such moments of light in the darkness. Someone once told me that God is love is different than God loves. He is love. He can't be anything apart from love. He simply can't act outside of his true nature. And an extension of his love is his Father's heart. He wasn't just my Savior in that moment. He was a dad. He was being a dad to my dad while being a dad to me and Linda too. He was stitching together special moments that would mean so much to each of us. He was finding a way to bring peace and closure where there could have just been heartbreak. No one will ever be able to tell me that God isn't involved in the details after that day. And ladies, I can promise you one thing. In your moments of pain, whatever you are going through, God sees you. God walks through it with you, and Christ is enough. There is no situation beyond his hope. There is no time when you are left alone. Sometimes we get the answers in exactly the way that we pray for. We shouldn't stop believing or give up on that. But even if we don't get them in the ways that we thought that we would, we must know that as we walk that journey, Jesus walks it with us, and he is enough. As we close our sessions tonight, I guarantee you that there are women here who maybe you just came to make a scrub and have some coffee. But maybe God brought you here to remind you that you're not alone and that he is enough. Sometimes when we're facing uncertain situations, we're tempted to just throw in the towel and say, this God thing is too hard. I give up. But he sticks by you closer than a brother. And then there are others of us who maybe everything's going fine, but we put conditions on our walk with God. We didn't even realize it, but it's like, yeah, God will be enough when I'll finally be happy when. And we run from one thing to the next, one quick fix to the next, always thinking that this is going to be the time I finally get my life together. This is going to be the time I finally fill this void, and yet it's not. Because we haven't ever found true contentment in Christ. Like Lisa was saying in the video, I had this one thing I wouldn't give God, and that was my kid. And I didn't find peace until I was able to turn him over to Christ. And I promise you, if there's one thing you're holding on to tonight, and you're like, God, you can have every area of my life, but you won't find peace until you do. You won't find peace until you get to the place where you say, God, you are enough. And it is you alone. And so tonight, before we go back out and we have more fun, because we will, I just want to take a few minutes to pray. I would like if we could just maybe turn as a group. You can stand if you need to or whatever. If you came with someone tonight or a friend, and you would like to pray, maybe you've never prayed before, but tonight you're like, yeah, I'm going through some stuff, I'd want to pray. And just turn to a friend and pray for each other, because we were not meant to carry things alone. We were not meant to be islands. That's why God calls us the body of Christ, so that we can minister to each other. And so I want you to be able to just turn to the people that you came with and let them know if you've got a burden. Let them know if you've got a thing that you're praying about. If you came alone tonight, that's okay. You can join a group. Or there are some women who are going to be down here with me. We would be happy to pray with you as well. So I'm going to give us just a few minutes to pray together, and then I'm going to close us out with a closing prayer for the evening, okay? okay? So go ahead. Find someone that you came with and see if you can minister to each other and pray for each other.
Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough.
All right, ladies, we're going to close out in a prayer tonight. And then we will get on with our evening. If you will bow your heads with me one more time, we're going to close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that no matter what we face, you are enough. Father God, I thank you that you have promised us that you walk with us, that you will never leave us, that you will never give up on us. And so, Lord, I lift up the women in this room. I pray that they would be encouraged tonight, remembering that truth. I pray that if they need to surrender something, they would be able to do so and walk out of here with peace, Lord Jesus, for the journey, strength, Father God, for the journey ahead of them, and an assurance that you are with them. We thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us tonight. If you don't have a church home, we would love to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. But we're so pleased with everybody that came. I hope you guys plan to stay a while, enjoy the evening, enjoy the stations, have some coffee, have a snack, and we'll see you next year.